I got a thought tonight. I believe it's from the Lord. I'm going to give it out, leave it here with you for what it's worth. Trust the Lord to bless it. I got these two Bibles because one of them is big print, and I've learned I can read this one pretty good. I'm going to Ezekiel, third chapter. Start off with here. Probably need a little help for somebody to help read. The third chapter of Ezekiel. I'm going to start reading in the second chapter, the latter part. Somebody else got their Bible, want to read one in Revelations 10, verse 8, 9, 10 there. Revelations 10 and verse 8. When I get through my foundation here. I'm going to start in the second chapter of Ezekiel. God is speaking here to his prophet Ezekiel. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. It's a kind of a strange thing that God, I've thought a lot of times about it, would keep sending messages to people when he knew when he sent them they wouldn't hear it. But he did. All down through the years, he'd tell the prophet, they won't hear you, they won't hear me, but he had to clear himself with them. He's going to be a witness. He said, nevertheless, shall they know there's been a prophet among them. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. There was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Now going on into the third chapter and see what this, the book's what I'm got in my mind tonight. Moreover, he said unto me, the writer or the printer of the book divides these chapters, and many times they're not divided in the right place. The subject runs right on into the next chapter. So in the original of these whole Bible, as far as that goes, was not divided up into divisions of chapters, but it was just like you would write a letter, one page after another was the original. So when man divided these chapters, sometimes they didn't do it just right. So we'll just overlook the chapter and go right on. The book's what I'm reading about. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll. And go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll, that cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, son of man, go and get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee unto them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But to the house of Israel, but the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are imprudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. And as adamant, harder than flint, have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Now, if somebody will read me the next one in Revelations, Revelations 10 and 8.
And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again.
Now, listen, this is way over in the latter part of the Bible, you might say.
And said, go and take the little book which is opened in the hand of the angel.
Now, go and take the little book which is opened in the hand of the angel. Which standeth upon the sea,
and upon the earth.
Upon the earth.
And he went unto the angel.
And he went unto the angel.
And said unto him, give me the little book.
Give me the little book. This is John now.
And he said unto me.
Take it.
And eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter. But it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey.
All right, read another verse or so there.
And I took the little book out of the angel's hand
and ate it up.
And it was in my mouth sweet as honey.
And
as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter.
All right, one more, I believe, there.
And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again
before many people
and nations and tongues and kingdoms.
The angel speaking to John. Now this is all type and shadow language, spiritual language, but it's got a meaning in it. It's got a great meaning in it to you and I today. And I believe the Lord has given me something new on it that I had never gotten before as such. The word of the Lord is actually what he's talking about here. That's what the book was. And he said, son of man, he started out with Ezekiel now. He was also a prophet. And this last one was John, and he was also a prophet. And John, you know, they tried to destroy him so many times in so many ways. Perhaps he thought his journey was about over many times. But before he went on this mission, he gave him this book, this here, and told him, you're going to prophesy, but for a whole long time yet, before many nations and kingdoms and so on. Your journey's not over, but before he started this prophecy, he had to eat something. He ate the book. And he said, it'll be sweet in your mouth, but when it gets in your belly, it'll get bitter. The word of the Lord is sweet many times, most of the time. But when it begins to have to be digested, it gets bitter sometimes. He told Ezekiel back over here now. Let's go back to Ezekiel. He said, in the book was written, therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Ezekiel, I've called you to a work, to take my message to a rebellious and hard-hearted people. Ezekiel, I want you to eat this book. Now, my thoughts tonight are majoring on the eating of the book. Lots of good thoughts in this scripture. Israel was a type of the church, was the church in that day. To the saints of God, the church that we call Evening Light Church today, are the most responsible people on the earth. And they have heard so much gospel, real Holy Ghost anointed messages. They have heard truths by God's ministers rising up, bedtimes, he said one time, and rising up early and sending them. Until I would say they're the hardest people right now in the world to preach to. Now, that's right. They're gospel hardened. Majority of the Church of God is today. He said, if I'd have sent you to them strange people over there, they'd have heard it. Not these people, they've hardened. And right now I see a slipping in of a spirit of compromise, a leavening right in among the camp of the saints, striking it by congregations. Some of them have stepped over the line and compromised. Others are in the balance right now. And the spirit of it is working. And it's simply because they have hardened their heart against the gospel messages that God has sent. And they just simply rise up in their hearts and say, we will not walk therein. I could number and name of many a thing that I have over the years saw warnings about, preaching about, and they just, that's brother so-and-so. Turn their head and go right on and do the very thing that the warning was against. We're coming down to meet the Lord soon, I believe. And when we come down there, God is going to call to remembrance all the gospel, Holy Ghost, anointed messages He sent to folks. It seemed like they just ride over them and getting away with it, but they're not. Now, the thought I want to get tonight is this book right now. I want to talk a little bit about it. I might read one more scripture about this book before we go any further. I like to get two or three scriptures. Over in Jeremiah, let's get that one. Somebody get that. Jeremiah 15 and 11. Just about one verse there, maybe. I want to get. The subject right now is this book. Somebody get that one. Just go ahead and read it.
The Lord said, verily it shall be with thy remnant.
It shall be with thy remnant. Is that Jeremiah 15 and verse 16?
Verse
16.
Thy words were found.
Here it is.
And I did eat them.
Thy words were found.
And I did eat them. And thy word was unto me.
Thy word was unto me.
The joy and rejoicing of my heart.
The joy and rejoicing of my heart.
For I am called by thy name.
O Lord God of hosts. Have three different places here with probably some more where it's a symbolical teaching of eating the book. That's what my subject is about tonight. Lord help us, and you pray that the Lord will help me stay on the subject. There's a lot of other things crowding in here that I could get real persuaded with, but I'm going to stay on the book. My time I'm allotted. Ezekiel, I want you to eat the book. And Ezekiel did eat the book. What does he mean by that? That didn't mean for me to shred this book up here and chomp it up, the leaves of it, and swallow them. That's not what it's talking about. That's talking about me taking the Word of God in my heart and life and digest it and let it become a part of my life. That's what it's talking about. Eat the book. Now notice here again, and he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then I did eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. In the book was written lamentations and mourning and woe. If you'll follow those prophets, you'll find they had them all. Now, in order to eat the book, it means we have to accept what God said in my heart and believe it. Now notice the part where he said, I want you to fill your bowels with this book. Now eating the book altogether is not enough. It has to be digested. And that's where the bitterness sometimes comes along. I saw people, in fact I was a witness of it for about 6 years. Before the Lord healed me, I could eat all right, but I had a blockage somewhere in my intestines and it wouldn't let the food go through. And I knew one sister, in fact I knew more than that, but I was close acquainted with one, that they died. Physical death because they had a blockage in their stomach and trusted God and wouldn't resort to an operation to open it. I knew a little infant baby like that that died. You may be able to eat and sit down and eat a whole meal, but if there's a blockage between that stomach and your bowels, you won't live very long. You'll just vomit it all back out and there'll be a little strength stay in there, enough to keep you alive for a little while. But if there's a blockage down there somewhere, it'll soon take your life. You'll fall off and weight, and you'll get thinner and thinner. I got out to 112 pounds once. I would eat, and right away in about an hour, I'd go spit it up. Back out. I got enough strength to retain life out of it for a while, but I was going down, down, down. So finally I reached a point in seeking the Lord and fasting and praying. Took a stand against the thing and I said, I'm going to not spit this up. If it kills me, I'm going to hold it down. And I took that kind of a stand and it was probably several days before it had begun to go through just a little bit at a time. The greater part of your vitamin and your ingredients that goes into your blood and also filters out through the digesting system that I'm not very much up on medical science, but I've read a little and I know a little about it. You get more actual value to your health after the food has went out of your stomach into your intestines. Your bowels means your lower intestines. And as the food processes through that, the bloodstream picks up the vitamins that belong to your system. And then you have a plan. God has fixed the body. And one part of it picks up the poison and filters it out through the kidneys. And on down through the system until when it's completely digested, it brings about the vitamins and minerals that the body requires in order to make you healthy. And if you want to get real unhealthy, you get a blockage between your stomach and your bowels. You'll not live too long in that condition. Now, Ezekiel I want you to eat this book. And it's not enough to eat it, but I want you to fill your very inside stomach, down to, through, including your bowels with it. In other words, Ezekiel, I want this book to digest through you and give you the ingredients that this book holds in it. Because you're going to need it. I'm going to send you to a people to prophesy. And it's got some things written in it, lamentations and mournings and woe. I say that to say this now. We have the Word of God that God has given us here. Man shall not live by bread alone, Jesus said, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The Word is our life. It's our spiritual life. It feeds our souls. We have a record where in Ezekiel's day he was preaching in one place, and the people was talking to each other, said they're standing by the doors in the street saying, come and hear what the Lord's got to say. And they gathered together and they say, Ezekiel's messages and preaching, he said, was unto them as a lovely song. But he said, they hear my words, but they do them not. They would hear it, but they wouldn't digest it, and they wouldn't put it into their very innermost being. Now, I'm thinking about the thought I have in principle tonight is for us to digest it. Put it in our lives. I want a scripture in Romans next, I believe. Maybe. Yeah, get Romans 2 and 21 for me, somebody. I also want one in Timothy, chapter 2 and verse 6. Hold on to that one. Be ye doers of the word, James said, and not hearers only, deceiving your own souls. Now I want to get a hold of the book here and the thought the Lord has impressed on my heart about it. Fill your bowels with this book, Ezekiel. I want you to digest it. You're going to need it. But I'm going to send you on down the road to a rebellious people. Don't be afraid of them. They're hard-hearted and all their foreheads are hard, but yours is harder than a flint. I've made yours harder than theirs. And I'm thinking about people that's teaching the Word of God today that have not digested it themselves. The ultimate results of it. I don't know just how to get right into what I've got here. You pray that the Lord will help me, but I got something here on this from the Lord. It's the truth. It'll help us. I believe I'll read the one in Romans first, 2 and 21 and 22. Who's got that one? Romans 2, 21 and 22.
Thou therefore, which teacheth another.
Now listen to this.
Teachest thou not thyself?
Don't you first teach yourself? See? If I haven't eat the book, and I haven't digested it, and I teach you, it'll have no effect. It'll just be mental teaching, that's all. And that's what we got in the world today. That's why the colleges can't make a preacher. Now this is truth. This is where we're living today. A college can't make a preacher because they don't have the people get it from man teachings and teach what they've been taught. That ain't enough. By man. We have to teach that I have eat and digested, and then it'll have an effect. If thou, read right on now.
Thou that preachest,
all right.
A man should not steal. Dost thou steal?
Now this got a thought in here. I get up and I say, let him that stole steal no more. The Bible teaches that. Well, have I digested that part of the scripture, and have I completely and totally been convinced in my heart and eat the book, that part of it, and digested it till the fact that I quit stealing? See? If I'm still stealing a little once in a while, I'm not going to be able to do you any good to tell you to quit stealing. Now, the Lord help us here. One time, Brother Chandler was preaching and telling about a young preacher. Started out, and he'd been kind of trained under older preachers. And old Brother Wynn was kind of working with Brother Wynn. So he got up and he just spewed off a whole lot of things he'd learned and heard Brother Wynn say. Said, oh, Brother Wynn knew the boy and knew he hadn't got that in his life yet. He was just passing it on from what he heard him teach. He said, oh, Brother Wynn just groaned and humped up as that boy was teaching that. We are not ready to teach the Word of God until we have digested it in our own heart and life. It'll have no effect. I got this little thought while the meeting was going on here. The brother come in here from California, been saved 3 years out of a real sinful state of life. The brother's messages was awkward in some cases. He didn't have the skillfulness to handle all of his scriptures. But when he preached it, it had an effect. The people were convicted by it. And I sat over there and all through the meeting and I watched it and observed it as I always do. And I saw that what the brother had was effective. And I began to think, well, Lord, he hadn't been saved but 3 years here. And we got folks been a-living for the Lord for years preaching. And they'll just preach and it looked like it's just like pouring water off the duck's back. What's the difference here? And that's where I got this message right here. That brother, I don't believe, preached a thing here that he wasn't convinced in his own heart, practicing in his own life, and willing to live what he was teaching. And God backed it up with His power. If I preach to you, thou shalt not steal, the Scripture said, and I'm still a-stealing, it won't have no effect. I may have learned that I ought to quit stealing, but I haven't quit yet. See? No use for me to preach that until I quit it. And I get it in my heart. Now read right on and finish that one. Thou that saith a man should not commit adultery.
Dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest
idols.
Dost thou commit sacrilege?
See?
Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God?
Yes. Now that's the thought. The Bible says if you look on a woman to lust after, he's committed adultery, doesn't it? See? When I teach people, you must quit committing adultery and you shall not do it. If I'm carrying it on in my heart and still lusting, I ain't going to have no effect on what I preach. God won't back it up. This is just an example now. This goes way on down. If I preach you shouldn't look at television, and I'm slipping around, one brother said, bootlegging looking. That's what he called it. He said some folks bootleg look at television. If I'm thrown in a place where I know there ain't no saints around, they got them in all the different motels and things like that, and there's a television in there, and I slip around over there, nobody looking at me here, I'll see what's on. If I'm not convinced in my heart that thing is wrong and poison and I ought to leave it alone, I ain't got no business telling you to let it alone. Now, that's the thought I'm getting at here. If I'm convinced that these video games are not of God and they're wrong, and I'm getting around and playing them myself, then I'm not near ready to teach you to let video games alone. Right on down the road. Whatever I preach to you, and I'm not living it, it'll have no effect. It'll just be words. Brother Porter and I was discussing some folks that seem to be pretty well educated and have a pretty alert mind. And we was discussing, not to harm them, we were just discussing about their advance in preaching. They hadn't been going very long. He said the worst trouble is they're real intelligent people and too much of their teaching is figuring things out themselves. Man figuring out. That's been years ago. I grasped that, got a hold of it. Now it don't take a smart man to preach the gospel. Paul tells us that real plain in the Corinthian letter. Not many mighty, not many noble, not many wise men after the flesh are called, but God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the mighty, and so forth. It's in the first chapter, Corinthians. And that answered my question. You don't have to be a 40-year preacher to preach the gospel for Jesus and have an effect. If you aren't awful careful, if you get too far down the road, you'll get into so many problems and things until you won't be able to do as good as the new fella, if he's really got the goods. It don't make any difference how intelligent you are and how many words you can drown me with, and you can say words that somebody else don't quite understand. That's not the thing that God uses at all. The thing that God uses is a totally sold out, unreserved individual that's eat the book and digesting it and putting it in his life, and then when he speaks, it'll have power and conviction in it. But if he hasn't got that in his life, it won't have no power. And he may be intelligent enough, or her, whoever it is, to just get up and make a long talk. Some people are kind of gifted to find words to say. That's not what counts. The thing that counts is how much of the book have I digested? Is it going into my stomach and then a blockage is down there and temptation comes along a little bit and I get a lot of emotion and spew around a while and go out and spit it all out. Vomit it back up. It didn't do my health no good to do that. And it won't be no strength in there to help somebody else. Eat the book, Ezekiel. Digest the book, Ezekiel. Let it fill your bowels. Let it get right down in you. Let it leaven you all clean. And let the vitamins from it go into your spiritual health. And then when you're fully convinced and fully convicted that God has told me and shown me a certain thing and give me a message, and I give the warning out to others, it'll have a weight and it'll have a conviction and it'll bring lamentations and woe a lot of times. It'll bring fire back. I've often heard it said, if a man go and hold a meeting and can't stir up the devil, he ain't got nothing in the first place. Well, the Lord help us here. Ezekiel, this book you're eating's got some bitterness in it too. It's sweet in the mouth. Oh, people can just testify and tell about the sweetness, how sweet salvation is, and yet let them get in a corner and get cornered up, and they haven't got a thing to stand on. I've seen that. I've witnessed that over the years. And somebody, I seen and observed this years ago, some of our very elegant preachers. And I saw in a meeting house running over, and there was about three fractions of people, at least three in there, all professing Church of God. And I drove several miles to this meeting, and the news was out what a great meeting they were having. Some, maybe more than three, might have been four fractions. And they was in groups. Have you ever noticed when you go around an assembly, birds of a feather flock together, never a truer. Like the camp was on fire around there. Wasn't a bit of unity in there. You see what I'm talking about? If the anointed Word of God has been eaten and digested, it'll bring, and it'll not go over the head, it'll hit right where God purposed for it to hit. I would say if it had been Ezekiel or Paul or any of the old time brethren, they probably wouldn't have come but one night. He'd have just told them plain out like Jesus was in plain words. A lot of them call them hypocrites maybe. No, that ain't wise anymore. You got to be careful what you say. Don't mention any other names of churches anymore. That won't stand up. I mean, that ain't the thing to do. I told them one time, they had a book they give out that Brother Warner wrote. And these papers that a brother is printing and passing them out, the old faith and the old gospel trumpet papers back in the 80s and early 1900s, they're reprints of the gospel trumpet paper. And to read those papers, I'll tell you right now, they had lamentations and woe in them. And they brought back trouble to those that taught them and wrote them and printed them and preached them. And I told them one time up there, I said, you passed out this book. If I'm not mistaken, I took down some of the places where Brother Warner preached, how he named out these false. Their whole mission was preaching against false religion, false preachers. They call these sectarian preachers priests. And he passes out the book, and then when somebody gets down and preaching a little bit close to like Brother Warner did, you say he's too hard. And you want to have a meeting and kind of saw his horns off. Lord help us now. This is experience that I've been through. I know what I'm talking about. The theory that I must gear my teaching and preaching where it'll just soothe and please everybody is completely deceptive. It's deception of the first class. Ezekiel, I'm gonna send you to this rebellious people, and you're gonna preach what I tell you if you eat this book. It's gonna bring lamentations and mourning and woe. Lord help us here now. I'm talking about digesting it. You take, for instance, it's often been said, I'll just use this to trying to bring the example. I don't just say this, but there's something to think about. He said, if you want to get somebody to really teach child training, get an old maid, never had no children. They can tell you how to raise children. And my experience over the years has been somewhat in that direction. But you get some mother that's raised about 10 of them, or a dozen or something, and you can put them in to teach your children, and they can teach you something. But you get somebody that never had any children, they're no good at teaching child training, because they never had any children. They had no experience. If I don't have the experience of what I teach and put out for you to do and advise you on, it ain't worth much. Now, everybody knows some moral codes. Everybody can tell the young folks some advice. You shouldn't do that. That'll lead to trouble because they've seen it. They've lived long enough to see it. Grown people have, and they know. But let somebody that's tried it and got affected by it, then their advice has a weight in it. Yes, it does. When you can go up to somebody and says, I've been right in that road. I've been right down that path. And I know what you're heading for. And I know what the Lord can do. You let somebody that's been delivered from a sinful state, and they can affect a sinner, testifying to him. But somebody that's never been very much of a sinner, and they might give a lot of good advice, but it won't have the weight in it. I noticed the young brother was here. He wasn't so young in years, but he was young in the Lord. Only 3 years been saved. And what he said had an effect on people. Yes, it did. It sent conviction. Why would that be any different? The brother had it in his heart. I believe he was living everything he preached to us here, because it had effect. Now, I'm not going to testify for him down the road. The devil's a wise old fellow, and he's got a lot of traps set, and there's lamentations and woe in that brother's pathway. But if he stays true to God, God will bring him through. And there's a kind of a tendency like this among the camp that shouldn't be. I've noticed it over the years. You let somebody new come along, and it seemed like the whole camp will just get alert and just listen and just get carried away with it. And yet we got those that have been doing the same thing and preaching the same kind of preaching for years and years, and they just get to be kind of like a song, rock them to sleep. Now, that's the way it is, but it ought not be that way. When we know somebody's life is clean, when we know they're living without offense of the gospel, and we have lived and saw them for years, we should have really and truly more respect for that than a new person. Now, that's right. But it's not so. No, it's not so. Lord, help us. We're talking about eating the book tonight. Are we eating the book? Somebody preaches, we've almost, I don't know how to word it exactly, but several years ago we started in a preaching about some of these inroads that's coming into the church, worldly inroads. Did it stop them? No. No, they're just still a-going. Just going strong. Riding right over those that had warned them. I liken it like this one time. The Lord showed me like this. We've been having floods lately, and we know what floods are. Down in Mississippi Valley, they built dikes. And they're pretty substantial. They're pretty strong. And about every year, the old river gets up and gets out, but the dike holds it. People settle in them fields there and farming and build houses in there. But here comes a flood this year. Maybe years went by and we've been safe over here and just getting along. Up the river the news comes it's going to break them dikes and go over and get the people out. Do you know they have to sometimes bodily get a hold of some of them people and take them out of there? Why, I've been here 20 years. The floods never got on my house. I'm not getting out of here. Do you know people are a whole lot that way about the gospel in the church? Something come along here. The Lord seemed to show me this on this celebration of Christmas. Years ago, the people were poor, and they may have not just exactly done everything in order of the Lord on Christmas, but it didn't get too bad, and the Lord looked over it and winked at it perhaps. But when prosperity come along, and the great fad of the Christmas tree and the ornaments, and the buying me and you buy me and I buy you spirit and money to do it with, little by little each year it got a little worse until it just got completely out of line of what the scriptures teach. Then somebody comes along and begins to warn them. That's too far to go. Oh, the church been doing this for 25, 30, 40 years I've been in here, and our preachers didn't teach against this. Maybe it wasn't so bad back there, see. But the time came when they went over the dikes. And then they refused to listen at a warning that God gave to the people about it. You know what the watchmen on the wall, you ever read about them over there in the old cities? They had a high wall. Some of them walls were 60 feet high. Up on top of the wall, they likened to these prison walls. They had a wide place, and they had watchmen up there. All the time, somebody was on that wall, and they could see way over there. You remember in the Bible, reading about, and I believe it was Jehu's day, the watchman on the wall said, "I see a man a-running, and it looks to me like it might be so-and-so." Almost identified him. A little later on, they did identify him. He was coming. The fellow down on the ground couldn't see him. No way could you see that for. That's the way it is in the church, and that's what the watchman's for. The watchman on the wall can see things coming that the normal people, ordinary lay member, can't see. And then they rise up and say, "Our forefathers didn't teach us about this. It was all right. But a time came when it started over the floodgates, over the dikes, and the watchman warned them about it. And I'll tell you, it was lamentation and woe for him for preaching it. Lord, help us." I want one now in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 6. And I want one in Proverbs 23 and 7. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 6. I'm talking about eating the book. Being first partaker of the book, of eating it. The husband that laboreth
must be first partaker of the fruits.
Should be.
Must be.
Must be first partakers of the fruit. Thou that teachest another, thou shalt not steal, dost thou steal? When I teach somebody to do something, I must first be doing it myself, or it'll not be effective. Eat the book, Ezekiel. Digest the book. Get it down in your very bowels, in your stomach. Let it begin to put the vitamins and minerals in your spiritual health. So you'll be able to stand up and give it out with authority. Was it Jesus, they said, why, he spake as one that had authority, didn't he? He did have authority. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruit. If I teach you something that I'm not doing, in the first place, it's getting awful close to hypocriting, to hypocrisy. In the next place, it won't convict you to do it. There won't be any weight in it. God's Spirit won't accompany it. Because I just mentally learned it or read it out of a book or heard somebody else say it and repeated it, it won't have an effect. But it must come out of my heart. It must come out of my very innermost being. I must be partaking of it myself, and then God on His throne and by His Spirit will send a conviction with it, and it'll benefit those that it's purposed to, and it'll offend those that are not willing to accept it. Blessed is he who is not offended in the gospel, with the gospel. Lord, help us. The husband that laboreth must be first partakers of the fruit. That's clear, isn't it? I must eat the book first. If I'm going to feed you something, I must be a partaker of it too. First. I must first eat it. Then I'll be able to feed it to you. Some of the little birds give us a lesson along that line. The Lord Jesus told us to take example of the fowls, didn't he? They go out and they gather up the food for their babies and they actually eat it. And they partly digest it. It's down in their craw. They fly back over to the baby and it's chewed up. And if it's a worm, they've killed it. And if it's some kind of seeds, they've let it stay in the craw long enough till it partly begins to be digested. And they come back and they stick their bill in the little bird's mouth and pump it out. That's the way the birds feed their babies. Pump out of their mouth, out of their craw, what they have already digested. And after a while, the little birds grow up, fly away. Here's our problem right here. In the world in general, we have a college-educated bunch of preachers in the world. They're preaching from what they taught was taught in the college. And they're educated. They went to school and they've learned. And they're able to figure out some things. They can teach some history. They can lay us in the shade, perhaps. They've read all the Bible history and they can just really put out an interesting sermon. One fellow here in Oklahoma City that I knew of, a friend of mine was telling me he was quite a persuasive radio preacher. He had a lot of followers. He was making a lot of money out of it. And he could talk. And he was supposed to be a holiness preacher. And this party told me that he was personally acquainted with him, and one day he met him over there at a certain place and said he'd answered a question. I heard him preach one time on a holiday that I was sure that he was preaching under a partial intoxication. Sounded just like it. And he said he come up and he said he belched in my face. And it was so strong he knew he couldn't hide. And he says, I've been drinking a little beer. I've been drinking some beer. Lord have mercy. That's the kind of preachers we got in the world today. That's the kind of preachers we got that's making great names for themselves. We know in the Church of God, I don't believe we got any preachers drinking beer. But we've had some of them bold enough to go right in and fill the pulpit committing adultery. Yes, we have. No weight in that kind of preaching. No weight in it. The Lord wants us first to be living what I'm preaching to you. My mother used to tell about their old Methodist preacher in her childhood days, and an old tobacco chewer. And he'd get up in the pulpit now and he'd say, "You don't live like I live, but you live like I preach." Well, that was way back years ago. I don't want to preach a thing that I'm not living. Lord, help us. You got any skeletons in the closet? If you got skeletons in the closet, your preaching ain't worth a nickel. God will not bless people teaching and preaching and testifying over skeletons in the closet. He won't do it. It won't work. I've got to be living a clean life. All right, I want one now. I'm going to quit here soon. Proverbs 23 and 7. This little verse is often overlooked. You know, Jesus said to Peter in the 16th chapter of Matthew, "Whom do men say that I am?" Some of them say you're one of the prophets. And then some say this and some say that. But Peter spoke up and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, Peter didn't say that on the terms that somebody told him that. The Lord spoke back to Peter and said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it to you, but my Father, which is in heaven." Oh, I thank the Lord tonight that God still got some people that gets revelation from God. And when you do, you can speak on it. You can act on it. It'll have authority. It'll have a weight in it. It'll convict people. It won't always cause them to do what you preach. No. But it'll meet them at the judgment, and they'll know they've been a prophet among them. Just like it said over there about Ezekiel. All these old prophets. Now Ezekiel was living down in captivity when God called him to preach. Down in Babylon, with the captives in Babylon. And Jeremiah and Ezekiel and them minor prophets, they had lots of trouble. They had lamentations and mourning and woe because of their telling the people the truth that God told them. But the Lord made it clear to Ezekiel, you got to eat the book first. You got to let it get down in your very bowels and digest it. And it'll be sweet when you eat it. But it'll get bitter. I'll tell you right now, if you haven't found any bitterness in your experience with God, if you go on and keep eating the book and it's still always so sweet, some bitter will come along after a while. You got to digest some bitter things. That's the test on real Christianity. Is how well you can handle the bitter things. Everybody can handle sweet things. When all is rosy and joy and the sun's a-shining and the birds are singing and one of them chirping days, I call them the spring, pre-spring day, it just seems like no matter much what's going on, it'll lift you up. But let one of them old heavy clouds come along. And let the storms begin to blow and the rain and all those kind of things. That test entails what you got on hand, how you act in time of storm in your life. When the meal barrel's empty, Paul says, "I learned how to be abased and I learned how to abound." I've been when I didn't have any. One place he said that right now I don't have a certain dwelling place. And I went naked, and I haven't had sufficient food, and hungry. I know how to do all these things. I believe Paul knew that. He had those times in his life. But he said, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Oh, the Lord help us. I want this last scripture, perhaps I'm going to read here. Now, this little scripture right here is overlooked. Proverbs 23:7.
For as he thinketh in his heart.
For as he thinketh in his heart.
So is he.
So is he. Is he a verse above that? What does that say above that?
Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his daily meat.
For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now,
eat and drink, saith he.
Yes.
But his heart is not with him.
Now, the thought I want to get out of that is right on my text, exactly.
The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up and lose by sweet words.
Yeah. Kind of along what we're talking about, isn't it? I might go have a real good dinner and just enjoy it. Sweet in my mouth. But if I got a stomach blockage, I could go out in about an hour and unload it all. I did that for 6 years. I know exactly all about it. And I'll draw just enough strength, maybe, to keep me alive for a while. But if I continue that on long enough, it'll soon take my life. Because all the real ingredients of the food must go through the entire intestine system into the bowels, separate the good from the bad, and work the plan of nature God fixed in there to throw off the poison and the good go for blood. And if I don't let it go through there and digest it, I won't be very healthy very long. And there's one of your main troubles of people's spiritual life right there. We see people that come to the altar and come to the altar, and we're glad to see them make another start. We wonder how far they're going to go. I'll tell you why they don't go on. They don't digest the Word of God. They don't obey the Word of God. They don't put it in their life. They don't digest it. They just put it in their stomach, and that was a good message, and it's pleasant, but they go right on out, and temptation comes along, and they just, might say, vomit that all up. And go, pretty soon they're right back down in a bad, healthy state spiritually again. That's right. Now, this other scripture I want to examine a little bit. The Lord gave me this scripture when I was meditating on a certain place. It was allowing compromise to come in. And there's a number of places doing that right now. I'm not going to cover up for any of them. I'm not mentioning no names, but I know it. And it's not new, and it's been gradually coming in, a little leaven. And we was discussing some things that the pastor of the congregation stood for and why he didn't take a stand on some things. And I know these people a long time. To them from their spiritual childhood, you might say. My wife made the statement, said, why, certain things we mentioned, so-and-so never did believe that. They just went along with it because the saints taught it. Is that good enough? Is it good enough to become a pastor of a congregation and you're going along with some things just because the saints taught it? That ain't good enough, folks. And the Lord brought this scripture to me real forcibly right there. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You'll not be effective. You'll not be able to stand and hold up the banner of truth unless you're fully convicted and convinced in your own heart that that's right and you got the revelation from God, and then you'll be able to stand against compromise. But if you're just a little doubt of it and you just took it on because that's the standard the saints held and I've got a pretty good bunch of support coming in here and I can't back up and all that,
I'll tell you right now, as you think in your heart, as he thinketh in his heart, that'll be the standard in his congregation, God. That's right. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You can get a man to act upon trying to get folks to straighten up in their dress if he ain't convinced that they ought to. He ain't convinced in his heart that's the way he ought to dress or his own family. If short skirts don't bother you, you're not going to have a congregation of their skirts long enough. Because you think in your heart that that's all right. Now that's just an example. If you're not convinced that this and that is wrong and you ought to abstain from a lot of these worldly things, you're not going to have a standard in your congregation any higher than you think in your heart. Now you may try to put on a front and try to teach it because the congregation, other places, or the saints taught it that way. One thing happened to be wrong in this case was the necktie. And the brother, for long years, just couldn't see the necktie. Well, he finally, I guess, gave it up because the saints taught it. But as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's just the way, that's the way your family will pattern after, however you think in your heart. That's the way the congregation will follow. The standard they'll follow is the leader thinks in his heart. Now, if he hadn't eaten the book, and he hadn't been had a revelation from Jesus and God theirself, and he hadn't been fully convinced that people ought to, the young people ought to let their hair grow out, you'll see them just chopping off little pieces of it here and there, a little shorter and a little shorter. Pretty soon, the dress sleeves will go up, and pretty soon the skirts will come up. Pretty soon they'll get the home permanents out. And you'll have a whole congregation with a standard about like that. And somebody will say, what in the world has happened over there? They've gone toward the world. They've compromised. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Oh, that little scripture's real. Got something in it, folks. If I'm not convinced in my heart that a certain thing is wrong, there's no way that I'll be able to stand up and teach it with authority and execute it. Because I just don't think in my heart that's necessary. And I may not say it. I may not be open enough to say it, but the spirit of it will rub off and I'll go right on along with it. Oh, the Lord help us tonight. We need more eating the book, digesting it. The Lord help us to not set a higher standard than we live in, ever. And if we're not fully convinced that the Church of God doctrine is right, then I've said this statement. They ought to be bold enough and honest enough just to get up and say, I just don't believe that. And we're not going to set that standard, and you folks that want the other standard, just go your way, and you that want this standard, just come on. If a man be honest enough like that, then you know where they're at, see? Look at what we call, what the world calls, or they call, the first church of God. Look at their standard today. I went over here one night to one of their little First Church of God meetings. And I believe the pastor and his wife did have on, the wife did have on a skirt, but all the rest of the congregation he was teaching there had on pants, pantsuits. There was one time when them people set the very exact standard that we're trying to hold today. And it wasn't 1,000 years ago either. I heard one of these radio preachers here, right over here in Oklahoma City, and I lived in Shawnee, and my wife got to listening to him on the radio preaching. He had a big program going, and I heard him out of my own ears, with my own ears one day, get up and he blasted them pants. He said, "Now you women just lay down on the floor and blow blue smoke." Today, that congregation probably all wear pants. He wouldn't dare make a statement like that anymore. Can you see what compromise does? It don't just flood in here. "Well, we're going to have a meeting and we're going to decide. We're going to ask the women to cut their hair off no more, and we're going to let them wear their beads, and we're going to lay aside our neckties, we're going to take them if we want them, and if we don't, we're just not going to bother anybody how they act or how they dress or what they do. Liberty of conscience." No. Perhaps part of the trumpet kind of come about almost like that, but not all the congregations didn't. Since I've been saved, there was some of the trumpet congregations held a real good, modest standard. Some of them trusted the Lord, too. We had a woman in Shawnee, and the trumpet congregation got a cancer, and they had the doctor come and examine her. She said, "She's going to trust the Lord. She wasn't going to be operated on." The doctor told her, "If the Lord heals you, I'll join your church." I personally know the doctor and know those people. The woman went on and trusted the Lord and died. We ain't the only people that has trusted the Lord in the world. Did you know that? There were thousands of people in the earlier days of this Reformation, we call it, trusted the Lord and held the same doctrine that we hold today. Taught the same standards. But just a little leaven, gradually. Come in. Let down this. Let down that. And the leaders let it go. Until today, where are they at? The brother that was here and held us a meeting said his father had an appointment probably already done by now to make an agreement with the Baptist church. And they were going to integrate together, work together. Yes. Lord, have mercy on us. It don't take a whole lot of backsliding to lose the standard that we stand for. And as far as the world is concerned, we're a long ways from the world today. It's astounding how far it is from a saint to a sinner today. What do you just call an outright sinner out in the world? And that's why it's hard to get folks to leave the world and come to the church. May the Lord help us tonight. I don't know what you got out of this, but the Lord put this on my heart as great a burden as I've had in a long time. Eat the book. Digest it. Let it go right on down into your bowels and fill your stomach with it. Ezekiel, you're going to need it. Then you'll have authority. "And I'll make your forehead harder than a flint," he said. "They can't bother you. I'm going to allow them. I'll make your forehead harder than their hearts." May the Lord help us tonight. "If thou teachest something, do you do it? If you don't, you're not going to make no success teaching it." You take it right on down to the literal world. If you're going to be a car salesman and sell Chevrolets and you're driving a Ford and you're convinced the Ford is the best car, you'll make a poor Chevrolet salesman. That's right. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Whatever you're convinced is right, and you try to teach it contrary to that, it won't work. It won't have an effect. May the Lord help us tonight.